Good morning. Fourth P of the broad road today that we'll be looking at. We'll just go to the Lord in prayer one more time before we begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's because of Him that we have hope. Lord, we pray that anything that I bring forward today, Lord, from my preparations, that it wouldn't be from me, Lord, but it be from you, that you would just use me, Lord. Pray that everyone would leave here today with something to think about and something to change their lives, Lord. Pray that you would just be with us. We pray again for my grandmother's granddaughter, Lord, just for this situation that I know is weighing heavy on her heart, as she's mentioned to me last night. So we just pray for that situation. Just be with the doctors. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. Again, this is where this whole message has come from. You don't have to turn there, because we're actually going to be turning to begin this message in Genesis chapter 3. So if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 3, this fourth P that we're looking at today is philosophy. But I will read Matthew chapter 7 and those two verses, 13 and 14, as soon as I get there. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few that find it. And I trust that everyone here this morning, as I've spoke on all these different P's on the broad road as a major highway, I pray that everybody is on the narrow road. And if you're not, there's still time to get on the narrow road. And as believers on the narrow road, it's our job to share the gospel and to bring souls to Christ. And praise the Lord for Mountaintop Youth Camp and the ministry that goes forth there. We just had 2 weeks, so pray that the gospel went out and seeds were planted. I don't know how many professions of faith there were, but we pray hopefully that there was children that came to the Lord. That's the whole point of the ministry there. So Genesis chapter 3, as soon as I get there, and then we'll read verse 5. And so Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so I want to make a point today about just this verse, and to bring this idea of philosophy before you guys. And it's just a thought that I had. And so we think about that phrase, and we know we're speaking to, this is Adam and Eve in the garden. And what does it mean for them to know good and evil? Why did the Lord say not to eat from this tree? So I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, well, surely it's not experientially, right? Because the Lord's never experienced evil, and they hadn't experienced it yet either. So I'm thinking it couldn't be like experientially. And so I'm thinking about it, the difference between good and evil. What would it mean for them? Well, if God told them not to eat from that tree, well, surely they knew right from wrong, and they hadn't sinned yet. So I'm thinking it's not a matter of them like not knowing that they're not supposed to partake of that tree. So I'm thinking it's not experientially, and it's not just like a head knowledge, right? Because they should already know, okay, we can eat of anything. I mean, we have this whole garden to eat from and to be with the Lord and with one another. But they just have that one tree, so they should already know not to. And so I would like to suggest, and remember that this is the serpent putting this into their head, but that the term knowing good and evil, that you will be like God, and thus able to distinguish for yourself what is good and evil. In other words, you will be on the same level as God, and you will understand, or excuse me, you will set the standard of good and evil. And so there's my question there. Do you see the philosophy in that idea of God saying, if you eat of this tree, you'll know good and evil? And so Satan, in the form of a serpent, is telling them, hey, if you eat of this, God doesn't want you to, because once you do, you will be like God, knowing good from evil, setting that standard. And obviously we know that's not the case, but I was challenged to think about, even from the very beginning, there's always been philosophy and the serpent trying to trick them up and have them think that they could be like God and set that standard. And then we see in Judges 17, when there was no king in Israel, every man did what was right in his own eyes, right? And so there's an example of that. And if we look at our world today, a lot of people are doing what is right in their own eyes, men calling good evil and evil good. I was sharing the gospel with one of my coworkers at the Coliseum. This was about a year ago maybe. We were sitting there. We didn't have very much to do, and we were just talking, and I was trying to share the gospel with him, and we were talking about spiritual things, and he was basically, he was all over the place, but he was saying he believed he was God. That's what he told me, verbatim. He said, I believe that I am God. I believe that because I can do what I want and all these things. And he pretty much said that, and I was like, that was a year ago, and that still stuck with me. I don't see him that often anymore. He works about as often as I do, like twice a month or something. So the odds that we work on the same day. So I haven't really had much opportunity to speak to him since that conversation. But that's an example right there of somebody that I know that said that he believes that he is basically like God, which is so far from the gospel. And so we see philosophy, and all these people in today's society want to be all big-headed and have all this information, and they think they're right, and they think they can stumble you and trip you up, and if you they like to pose questions, and they're scoffers. I know I spoke on 2 Peter here before, and the end times, and they're scoffers in the end times, and they'll ask questions, and if you can't answer their questions, they just write you off and write the whole gospel message off, and so we must be ready to answer it. But they'll I heard this in a sermon that I was listening to, I can't remember when, but they'll ask questions like, where did Cain get his wife? And you say, well, I don't know, I'm not able. No laughs. Some laughs, maybe. No, but they'll ask these questions to try to trip you up. The intellectual questions, they'll say, and so they'll say, well, read this point that I have written here. So questions about your God. Does he know everything? Yes, he's omniscient. Can he do anything? Is he powerful? Yes, he's omnipotent. And could he make a rock? Then could he make a rock so big that he couldn't lift it? Right? They'll ask, you know, and I'm not saying these are, you know, questions that you will come in contact with, but just to think about, they like to use these, their mind and their intellect, to try to do these things. And so, just that one verse that I wanted to turn you guys to give you that idea of philosophy, even from the very beginning, from the fall of man. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 11, it's interesting how the Lord uses these things. This is what Tim was reading just this morning, Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 and 20 through, I think, 27. So Matthew chapter 11, we'll start in verse 25. Let's see. I thought that's what I had written down. Well, I had it written. I guess I had it written down wrong, but I was going to. Tim, what did you read this morning? What was it, chapter 11?
Yeah, Matthew 11, verse 25.
It was?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm in, okay, I'm sorry, excuse me, I was in Mark. How does this doesn't make sense? Yes, Matthew chapter 11, it would help if I'm in the right book, right? And verse 25, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All these things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And so, I apologize. I didn't have this in my notes this morning. I was thinking about my message, even in the Lord's Supper, and Tim said that read these verses. I go, this really goes well with my message. I can't believe I didn't think of this scripture to put into my message this morning. But you know, there is something to be said about childlike faith as far as believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of these people, I feel like the smarter you think you are, the harder it is to share the gospel with them, because they have all this philosophy and reasoning and intellect. And God gave us our brain and our intellect, and he expects us to use it. However, it gets in the way sometimes. For a non-believer, it doesn't really make sense. I was thinking about this for my message. As far as philosophy goes, it doesn't really make sense as a non-believer to think about, okay, so a virgin conceived, and then a child was born, and then he lived a perfect life and died on the cross and bled out for. How does that save anybody? Like, how? I mean, from a worldly standpoint, from somebody who wants to use their mind to explain all these things, that doesn't really, until you become a believer and you see, once you start turning to the scriptures, and you can start seeing how there's prophecy in the scripture, and you can see how it all starts to come together. But if you're just thinking about, okay, how did somebody hanging on a cross, how does that save the whole world, let alone one person, right? For somebody who's not saved, it doesn't really make sense until you are saved and you realize how thankful and grateful we are for the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. And so, since the fall of man, we'd like to use our intellect, reasoning to play God and to do our own standard of what is good and bad, and we are disobedient. I'm speaking specifically to those on the broad road. As believers on the narrow road, no, we are not perfect, but hopefully, as the song goes, we are being obedient and showing that we believe, leading those from the broad road to the narrow road, right? And so, as I said, like the song goes, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. I think I missed that point on this page that I wanted to talk about good and evil. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Action is the key. Do it immediately, and joy you will receive. And our hope and our faith and everything is right here in the Word of God. And oftentimes in my life, I know, as we read this, and I'm talking about philosophy here, we'll begin to see how the Scripture unfolds, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. But obedience and listening to what our Heavenly Father has for us to do, and I was thinking about that little song, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe, and you have to be going to the Scripture, and action is key. Do it immediately, right? I think a lot of times if I'm reading in Scripture, something might jump out to me, and then I'll just close my Bible and go work on something else, and I don't want to immediately act on what the Lord might be convicting in my life. And then right after that, the next words of that song is, joy you will receive. a lot of times I don't receive that joy. I feel like, and this is, I'm kind of on a side note here, but because I didn't immediately act, right? Action is the key. Do it immediately, and then joy you will receive. So that was a side note, and my notes, as you can see, I'm way off, and then I was even in the wrong book. So, but back to the point here that all these people use these great philosophies, and you have anything from pantheism all the way to atheism. And so pantheism is, from a little bit of what I looked into, it's like there's like the belief that there is a God, but he's like, it's sort of a belief of like we are God too, and like he's in the universe, but he's kind of, my mind couldn't grasp it. I was trying to look at different things, and I couldn't quite grasp it. I don't know. I guess I'm not smart enough. But there's anything from pantheism to atheism. Atheism's the belief that there is no God at all, and that there was a Big Bang or whatever it is, and we all just came here. But and then there's all sorts of things in between those two. From there's all kinds of different beliefs now. I don't even know. I don't care to look into them, truthfully. But we need to be prepared to, on the narrow road, to share the gospel with those, and know that there will be these beliefs that these people will believe in, and they believe in their minds. And you know, you have these doctors that go to school for many, many years and get this degree so that they can help children and people. And praise the Lord for that. But also, a lot of times they get so big-headed that they can't even see the plain scripture in front of them. And so Luke, I want to read two more passages here. Luke chapter 11. And I'm in the right book this time. Luke chapter 11 and then verse 52. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves did not enter, and you hindered those who were entering. And talking about lawyers, we'll read the next passage here in a minute, but there was constantly people in the Lord's day trying to twist the words of the Lord and try to cause him to, and they tried to trap him all the time and give him these almost what would seem impossible situations. You look at the different situations they brought before the Lord, from the woman at the well to all these different, there's many examples how they tried to trick up the Lord, cause him to stumble, but they couldn't because he was perfect. But that's all the philosophy that they would try to use to try to, and they would try to twist his word to use it against him. And it didn't work because, well, he was the Lord and he's perfect, but he also was relying on the Father and what scripture they did have then as well. And he would turn that on them. And then Colossians 2, Colossians 2 and verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the word, rather than according to Christ. And we see here a warning to not be taken captive through philosophy and empty deception. When the Lord Jesus spoke, there were always men of intellectual ability and lawyers, and they would try to twist his word. God does not ask you to put your faith in some empty feelings. He understands you have a mind, so he presents the Lord Jesus Christ through the vehicle of prophecy. And that's why I'll talk about getting into the scripture. You can see these things for yourself, and you can dive into the word and find it to be true for yourself. So an analogy that I wanted to use before I go into this is, think about how difficult it would be. Not that difficult, actually. You got a 50-50 shot to get it right. But if I were to ask you, Seth, what was it, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, before the Super Bowl, If I say, who's going to win, the Chiefs or the Eagles? You would say, well, the Chiefs or the Eagles. Doesn't matter. Whatever your pick is, you got a 50-50 shot to get it right, right? And so you think about being able to foretell the future and prophecy. You got a 50-50 shot at getting it right. But then if I ask you, okay, you got that one right. That's great. 100 years from now, tell me who's going to play in the Super Bowl, and not only who's going to play in the Super Bowl, but who's going to win. Well, we don't even know if the football teams will be the same. We don't even know if their names will be the same. I mean, we see teams fall off, teams change their names, different things. So it would be impossible, right? And so we think about that is the Bible has that seal of prophecy. Hundreds of years in advance, he would have to have these things happen to him, such as what part of the world he would be born in and what country he would be born in. We see that in Micah 5 in verse 2. What transportation he would be using, Zechariah 9:9, right? How people will react to him. Again, Zechariah 9:9, and you can see this in Isaiah 53, right? How they would react to him. What time in history he would come. You can see this in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25. What race and family, try to arrange that before you're born, right? You can't arrange what family you're going to be in. So, I mean, that's like impossible. But we see that in 2 Samuel 7 and then also in Psalms 89, right? And these are all evidences that we can place our faith in. There is so much more we'll never fully understand. As I was picking out the songs, and this line right here, there are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. There, I mean, we'll never fully get the full depth of what was done for us on that cross by the Lord Jesus Christ till we're in eternity with him. And then the things of the scripture, as we, you know, the Lord does give us our intellect, and he wants us to go through the word and find these things out for ourselves. But we won't fully grasp everything until we are in glory with him. And so, and this is the evidence that we can place our faith in, and this is what we can tell people when we're sharing the gospel, that might be philosophical or think they're so smart that they can ask you these questions that you can't answer. And you can point them to the scripture, and if they're not a believer, this, like I said, doesn't mean anything to them. It means everything to us, and we should be obeying what the word of God says for our lives. But to an unbeliever, if when we're pointing them to this, they're like, that's crazy. That book doesn't mean anything to them, right? So, and that's why we have to pray for the people that we're witnessing to and things as well. I know Elizabeth mentioned the prayer list, and that's where my message has been on these last three messages before, the broad road and the narrow road, and I really want to focus on both aspects of traveling boldly on the narrow road through all these points, and then also because we're looking at the broad road and these different things that are the broad road the world has to offer, and how we can share the gospel with those on the broad road. So it's kind of like both. I think about at the school, I'm constantly convicted that I'm not sharing enough, or that I'm not having personal relationships with the kids the way that I should. I'm constantly challenged with that. But it's hard because it's a balance. You can't shove it on them and force it down their throat at the same time. I did want to make note for like some of the brothers and sisters here. If you want to listen to this message, this message, and if the Lord not come back before it's over in a week, when you want to listen to it again, it's all online. And then if you want to hear messages better than what I can speak, there's all kinds of messages on there from Brother Warren Henderson to Kenneth. So I wanted to put that out there as well, because I've made this all these points, and so you're missing the last three, and not that they are tied together exactly, but they're there for you, and we're thankful for technology for that as well. So these things, we try to figure these things out for ourselves, but we can't. We have to rely on the Lord. And as I'm saying, people put their faith and trust in their minds and what they can figure out, but we don't need to. We need to put our faith and trust in the scripture. we put our faith in what we can figure out on our own philosophy and how smart we think we are. Ultimately, my point is, we put our trust in our own philosophy rather than submitting to the Lord's power. And thus speaking more so to those on the broad road, there are times where, like I said, obedience is key, or action is key. Do it immediately. There's times in my life where something might be so obvious that the Lord's trying to speak to me about, and I don't listen like I should. 2 Peter, I'll read in 2 Peter, let's see, chapter 1 and verse 19. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And so, as I was saying, on the narrow road, we need to shine our light bright for those on the broad road. And we have the prophetic word, which is the scripture. And I gave all, I can go through the list again, right? Of, you know, we'd have to see where he was born, how the people would react to him, what kind of transportation he would use, right? Philosophy will point you away from Christ, and he does not ask you to throw away your brain, but rather he has given you evidence in the Bible. I say all this to say there are many philosophies and beliefs, as I said, from pantheism to atheism and everything in between. While we are traveling on the narrow road, shining our lights for him, we need to be prepared to answer their questions, those on the broad road. Our ultimate tool is the Word of God, and we need to be obedient to it in our lives and what he says for us in the Word of God. And then I'm going to make a point, as our brother Jacob has done a very, very good job of making it true to us, that we need to be in an accountability group and use the believers to help each other out. We're not just stuck here by ourselves. I mean, yes, we have the Holy Spirit, but church is not just to come here and then say, hey, how you doing, and go on home, right? And so illustration I'll use for that as well. I've been deep sea fishing twice in my life. I went with my uncle one time when we went out, and then another time in the Bahamas. Both times I've been deep sea fishing, whether you get a shark on the line or a fish that's fighting you really, really hard, not always this is the case, but it was the case both times I went. I'm reeling, reeling, reeling. I mean, I'm fighting this fish for like 30, 40 minutes, and finally I'm like, I just can't do this anymore. Like, and I got to hand the rod over to somebody else. Both times I went deep, maybe I'm not built like a Jones, but I'm reeling for like 30 minutes, and finally I'm just like, I don't care anymore. Somebody else take this from me, right? Like, I just can't do it anymore. And that's the same way with when we're witnessing to somebody. You can have that same feeling. I'm witnessing, I'm praying, I'm burnt out. I don't know, I can't do anything else. Like, I just continually am witnessing and praying for them. Well, you have your brothers and sisters in Christ to help you, and you should be plugged into an accountability group. And so when you're sharing with others, you utilize the brothers and sisters here at the church to say, hey, even if they're not going to specifically answer a question, just at least pray for you and for the situation. And more importantly, too, for that point also, is if somebody does, if you're witnessing to somebody and they ask you this just totally off the wall question, or they ask you something about scripture and you're like, I don't know, but turn them over to another brother or sister that might have that answer, that might be a little more mature in the faith, or might have studied that passage before and you might not know. And sometimes you just get caught off guard. I know that's happened before. Somebody's asked me some sort of question about scripture and I'm like, you know what, that's a great question, let me get back to you, because I got to go read that for myself, figure out, and come back to you, and we can talk about it. That happens too. I mean, there's so much in here that we can't, like I, as the song says, we won't fully know everything until we are in heaven. And so the final point that I want to make is philosophy can be deadly when it does not point to the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said there's anything from pantheism to atheism and everything in between, and the world has a lot to offer. A lot of these roads, as I have been speaking on, they're kind of, you know, can be interchangeable between power and popularity and pride and philosophy. I mean, all these things on the broad road, that's why it is the broad road. This world has so much to offer you. But that's also why when you look around, there's depression and suicide, and people are not happy because your true joy comes from the scriptures. And so all these people on the broad road, they think they're happy, but they're really not. They're searching for the answer, and they're going in between all these, as I call it, these points on this six-lane highway, and I started them all with P's, and they're trying to find true fulfillment, and they're never going to find it. And that's what we're here for, to be lights and to point them to Christ. And that's where they will find, and you will find, your ultimate fulfillment and joy in life is living for the Lord. And so hopefully I didn't ramble as much this time. That's what my wife told me last message. I don't know. She knew that was coming, because when she told me that, I was like, I'm totally going to throw her under the bus for that one. Sometimes I can ramble, but hopefully that there is something to be obtained for you guys from this message. I pray that the Lord will use it. We'll go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for, again, your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, that we could gather in his name. We just pray that as we leave this place and we go on about our week, Father, that we would look for opportunities to share the gospel with those on the broad road. We pray, Father, for wisdom, Lord. We know that we need to be looking to your word in the scriptures so that we can answer questions that people might have, and that we can get continue to draw closer to you. And the way to do that, Lord, is to be in your word. We pray that even as the song goes, that action is key, Lord. I pray for that in my own life, that as you point things out to me, Father, that I'd be willing and to submit to what you've laid on my heart. And Father, we just pray for accountability, Father. I'm thankful for the accountability group that you've placed in my life. We just thank you for the church, and that we can utilize each other, and that we're not here to do this on our own. We just pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.